Mini episode 252 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Outside the Box Score, your home on the web for entertaining sports columns and videos. Follow them on the web at OutsideTheBoxScoreBlog.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, folks, Rick Morris and Kyle LaRosse, your FDH Lounge dignitaries, breaking it down for you. Our AFC East 2012 retrospective / 2013 look ahead. What's the status of the AFC East? Kyle, looks like continuity would be the watchword here. New England winning this thing going away. Doesn't seem to be any reason to doubt that going into 2013, notwithstanding what we think of them once they get to January.
Yeah, correct. I mean, there's a real chasm that exists between them and the field when it comes to AFC East. Now, looking, I, first of all, I was very critical of the Patriots, and I believe rightly so, the last time we discussed in our conference championship recap. I mean, this is a organization that really, since its Super Bowl run, hasn't done much. And I broke that down. You can listen to the previous podcast how I made the comparison that they're not much different than Atlanta. I mean, you know, I'm very critical. I've been very critical of Atlanta during the Ryan Smith era for their lack of postseason success. And New England really, as I detailed there, hasn't done too much since beating San Diego in that AFC Championship game in 2007.
Right.
But it would take a huge leap looking forward not to believe or some major free agent signing. And granted, we're doing this in February. Mm. A lot can change between February and September. But it would take a major leap, something just cataclysmic to occur. Tom Brady saying, you know what, I retire, or Belichick retiring, for you not to pick the Patriots to win this division. You know, they were both of our picks. You know, they met our expectations this year when you look at it, Ricky. Both of us, you know, I had them like 12-4, second seed, and then we both had them losing in the AFC Championship game, which is what they did. Now we both had them losing to a different team, Houston, not Baltimore, but they met our expectations. And you can essentially pencil, that's what I do every year. They were going 12-4, going to get one of the two byes. We'll see how they do in the playoffs. And they're just they're just so head and shoulders above the rest of the division. It's not a deep conference, and it's really remarkable when you look at this whole run as a whole since Brady became the starter. They've only, if memory serves me correct, not won the division twice during this run.
I think so, yeah.
One time was the year that Brady got hurt in game one, and Castle came in, and they were still 11-5, and they got kind of hosed in the playoff things. And the other time was the year after the first Super Bowl. They were 10-6, again lost a tiebreaker, ironically, to the Cleveland Browns.
9-7, I believe, because the Browns made it at 9-7.
Okay.
Yeah, that was
and
truly unbelievable.
So that was the only year they haven't won at least 10 games. It'll be interesting if they lose Wes Welker, but still. I mean, when you look at the rest of these three teams, Miami, Buffalo, and the Jets, there's no reason to think that they can challenge New England. I mean, there's about a five-game five-game difference between them and Miami, who finished in second.
Yeah.
And Miami might be a little bit better.
I think they will be.
I think they'll be – I mean, jumping to them, they were a team, and I believe you agreed, that I said – would be better than most people thought. They were kind of like Cincinnati 2 years ago.
Yeah.
On Hard Knocks. Oh, this team stinks. They look bad. People bought into that. And I was like, folks, I think you're selling this team too short. And they were competitive, Miami. You know, they clearly need some help at receiver. But, you know, they're a team that in an AFC that's not that deep, I could see them getting Miami to 8-8, 9-7, maybe contending for a last playoff spot.
I got them at 8-8, yeah.
Okay.
I think they'll be right in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Buffalo, Buffalo and the Jets were disappointments.
Right.
They finished below our expectations. Buffalo's a team, I'll come out and admit it, I had them 9-7 and in the playoffs. Thought they had a schedule tailor-made for it. Didn't materialize. Chan Gailey was not the man to coach this team. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, I don't think, is the long-term solution under center. it's kind of interesting. They're like the Jets. They're screwed mm-hmm. in that they're tied up with a lot of money to a quarterback that's not very good.
And unlike the Jets, I think they're going to move on, though, anyways. I do think they're going to move on.
You do?
That's the sense I'm getting, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
To me, I think the Jets could – it's going to be interesting with the Jets
mm-hmm.
because it's one of those things that could really spiral out of control. Their team gets talked about too much, and everyone could be like, oh, this is going to be the worst team mm-hmm. in the league, yada, yada. And we'll wait and see about that. But potentially – it is setting up very poorly for the Jets. I like the Bills more than I like the Jets. I think the Jets could be atrocious this upcoming year. I think they could be one of the worst teams. Right now, trying to get ahead of the public sentiment, we'll see what it is. I mean, if it gets really against them, then I'll look to say they'll be a little bit better. But they're a team that could win like four games next year. I mean, they have no – other than Revis, who they're looking to trade, who do you want on this team?
I got them for five. Yeah, I think they're going to be a bad – story here. I think they're going to be a bad team. I think Buffalo has the chance to take a nudge up from 6-10 to 7-9. Don't know as much about what the new guy is going to do there, but I get the sense that, you know, he's got a good feel for things, this Marone fella. He did a good job at New Orleans as an assistant coach previously. Probably has a good feel for it. Knows the area for whatever that's worth. I mean, he slides right in from the premier college job in the area, so he's a guy who's got a good feel for what it takes to make it in that market.
Yeah, if Buffalo and Miami are to improve, those wins are going to come off the Jets pile, in my opinion. I think that right now, as we do this in February, if there's one division among the eight that promises to have the most stability from the previous season, it's this one. I just don't see – New England is clearly the class, and then Miami's slightly better than Buffalo, who's slightly better than the Jets.
I would agree with that. Now, circling back to New England, because they are the story – of the division here. I want to put something out here that I don't think you're necessarily going to agree with. I know that I don't. But our fellow FDH Lounge dignitary, Steve Callis, in a column actually at the same place where you can partake of this show, the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine, the FDHLounge.blogspot.com, already making his early picks for next year. He is looking at the probability, in his estimation, and I think this could happen, of Ed Reed signing with New England.
Yeah.
He's saying Ed Reed signs with New England, he's going to pick them to win the AFC. Now, I think they might be an Ed Reed circa 2004 away from winning the AFC,
but
they're not an Ed Reed circa 2013 from winning it. They would need a ton of work on that secondary, and Bill Belichick, for whatever reason, has been too arrogant to address that in recent years. I mean, they got to keep Tlaib. I don't want to say they did nothing, but Kyle, they need another two bodies in their minimum.
Two things. I don't know if personnel is really an issue with them. I don't know what it is, why they come up short. Some of it, I think, has been, when you look at New England's recent playoff failures, has been some good strategizing by the defense. I mean, you know, Rex Ryan, we've all kind of grown tired of him at this point.
Right.
But he did a masterful job when they went to New England as a near double-digit dog and took that game a few years ago. Baltimore played well. It's interesting. And people always overreact after a loss. That's what you do in the NFL. But there were some people questioning Brady after the Baltimore loss, and I think rightly so. When you look at how the quarterback position is evolving right now, Brady's complete lack of mobility is an issue when you look at these other guys. I mean, I'm not saying that you have to be RG3 because he has zone issues, but these guys who – you know, the Russell Wilsons, the Colin Kaepernicks, who we'll get to, who can throw and run very well. That seems to be the new style. And Brady, when you looked at it, there was like a time in that Baltimore game, I don't know what the situation was offhand, I just remember the play in my head, where he was kind of chased out of the pocket, and I think a Kaepernick or a Wilson scores or gets at least down to the goal line on this scramble. Brady, it was like watching Bernie Kosar circa 1988. He was just like, kind of tried running, and then he was just, like, pitifully tackled.
Well, but as far as, you know, when he's the guy who's playing against in that game, Flacco, I mean, he's not exactly hustle like Russell either.
No.
I mean, he's not bad for a big guy.
He moved around. He escaped some what looked to be sacks in some key situations. I mean, no, he stepped up in the pocket in that big pass against Denver in the Super Bowl. He avoided the sacks a few times. Back to Ed Reed. I know that I think you're going to agree with this, but you don't want to.
Okay.
I agree with you that Ed Reed is certainly not what he once was. And, you know, the usual suspects, you know, I laugh because the only thing that's more annoying than cliched Super Bowl media coverage is cliched complaining about cliched Super Bowl media coverage. Tetsman. And, you know, all these people are like, why are you talking about Ray Lewis so much? Have you ever heard of Ed Reed? Isn't Ed Reed, like, at the same stage of his career as Ray Lewis? I mean, I guess he's going to play next year, but for all intents and purposes, it's a guy who's way on the downside of his career. His legacy's set. He's a starter on the all-time defense, just like Ray Lewis. But you're not getting – I mean, if New England does sign Ed Reed, and I've heard that possibility too, you're not getting the Ed Reed of 8 years ago. Just like Ray Lewis is certainly – people are like, oh, you know, his best years were like 2000, 2001. Who's debating that?
Here's the interesting thing about that. I think what you're – and I would agree with completely with what you said. I think it's a commentary on the two positions in as much as Ed Reed came into the league, what was it, 5 years after Ray Lewis. Having said that, Ray Lewis playing inside linebacker, basically getting things funneled to him by Haloti Ngata and the guys on that massive defensive line all those years, you can camouflage your lack of speed a little bit better. Now, we saw during the Super Bowl, again – And for as much as everybody's going to put him over for this run, that Super Bowl, again, particularly in the passing game, exposed Ray Lewis.
Yeah, but I think most people knew that. I mean, and it had been that way for a couple years. We'll talk about Baltimore, certainly.
It took until that point. But what I'm saying is for Ed Reed, when you're in a secondary, he might be 5 years less in the league. But even at safety, you can't camouflage that as much.
No, you can't. I've seen Ed Reed play poorly in recent years.
Yes,
in big situations. He's not what he once was. I mean, he's, in my opinion, the second greatest safety to ever play the game.
Yeah.
Besides Ronnie Lott.
Yeah.
But you're not getting the second greatest safety. I mean, well, legacy-wise, you would be, obviously.
Right.
But he's not at that level anymore. He's not even the best safety in the He's not the best safety in the game by any means.
Hard to know where they need help, but, yeah, in the draft, in free agency, New England would be well advised to look in that area. And, again, not necessarily at Ed Reed because, again, as we've been talking about, again, New England, the class of this division, but on the downslope of that dynasty, and they're running out of time to arrest this, Kyle Ross. I mean, this year, next year, whatever, it's only going to be diminishing returns.
Yeah.
The also-rans in this division will nip them at some point, even if it's not in 2013, which we think it won't be.
Here's the big question, though, I guess, with this division, because you're right. You can just pencil in New England for the division title. Do any of those other three teams strike you as maybe? I mean, look, there's a draft. There's free agency still to come. A lot of things can happen. But let's say one of them hits a home, like some sort of home run in the draft or free agency. Even then, do any of those teams strike you as a group that can make the playoffs?
No. Although I will say this again, though. I've got Miami at 8-8, and I've got my wild cards in the AFC, as we'll hit in subsequent mini-episodes here, at 9-7.
Yeah.
I think Miami will be at the periphery of the picture, but no, I don't think they don't look like a playoff team to me.
Miami's kind of a slightly better version of Cleveland. They're kind of on par with the St. Louis in that they're that tough team that, you know, they're a tough out, they're going to play you close, but they're not going to win those games more often than not.
Right. That's how I have it slotted, and again,
New England ran the table in the division, did they not, this year?
I think they did.
They went 6-0. That is tough to do in back-to-back years.
They won't. I don't think they'll do it again.
Yeah, I mean, that's very tough to do. I'm sure somebody's done it, but I'm hard-pressed to remember the last team to sweep the division in back-to-back years.
It's pretty hard, but yeah, this division, again, it probably looks a lot in 2013 like it did in 2012.
And a lot like it did in 2011. It's been the same thing. It's really remarkable. Tip of the cap to the Patriots. But, look, the Patriots are in that group of teams like the Falcons. The Packers, I think, are going to at this in that group as well now. Of teams, look, we know you're good.
Mm-hmm.
Got to start winning some playoff games, though.
Right.
Can't be living off past reputation or just the regular season.
Green Bay did win the Super Bowl 2 years ago. This is really, we're really accelerating the what have you done for me lately thing.
Oh, I'm not afraid to.
Evidently not.
Are the last 2 years for Green Bay not disappointments, considering?
Big disappointments.
Okay, there you go. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. But again, New England, looking at it here again, I'm right there with you in saying, again, they're on notice because we know what they're going to do. They look like they're going to go in, dominate the division next year, win it comfortably. Can they get it done in January and February? That's where we seem doubtful.
They're still easily one of the two or three best teams in the AFC. Easily.
Yeah, I think so. Because we'll be talking about this as we go along. The gap between the AFC and the NFC, which we hit upon all year here, and I think we were ahead of the curve in doing so.
Although
you didn't hear as much about that at the beginning of the season as you did as the year went along. Granted, an AFC team wins the Super Bowl. But
it was funny, though, that the last couple of years, the AFC was always presumed to be better. I mean, and the NFC was winning the Super Bowls those years.
Yeah. Although I think the perception was starting to take root in 2011 and 2012 about the NFC. It just seemed really more prevalent this past year.
Well, it's just much deeper.
Right.
When we go through the divisions,
yeah,
it's funny. In the NFC, there's not a lot of teams that I think just stink. In the AFC, there's a handful of teams that I think could be really bad. The Jets are one of them here in the AFC. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what the public sentiment is. If it gets really against them, I'm going to say, okay, they won't be that bad. But if people are still being optimistic about this team, it's going to be worse.
No, it is. It has the potential to get very, very brutal. But that's our look at the AFC East.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.